Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Stream Plains of Colorado, and director of the Generations Radio Broadcast. With me, Steve Vaughn, homeschool father of six. And Steve is on the board, actually, of our organization. So, Steve, it's always good to have you with us as we continue this project of equipping families in this country and around the world on matters related to God's word and God's will for family life in a wildly secular world. Is that an accurate way to put it?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially the word wildly. I don't know if that's strong enough. It is just crazy out there.
Yeah, it is, especially in the area of mass media. That's why we've published the book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture, because popular culture has such an influence, not so much in the 1780s or the 1630s or the 1540s. I'm not sure the court jester had too much of an influence upon all of human society. I can't imagine that the wandering minstrel had so much influence upon a society, with maybe the exception of the Pied Piper. We'll get to that in just a moment. But in the 1780s, it wasn't like the theater was directing the morals of the nation, although guys like John Quincy Adams and others were trying to bring the theater into Boston. I think they were successful by the 1780s or 1790s. The French theater was making its way into America, but it wasn't as if it was directing the thought patterns of 94% of the population. Friends, that wasn't happening. By the 1850s, arguably Nathaniel Hawthorne, his Scarlet Letter, some of his pro-adultery stuff, some of the radical transcendentalists were dictating the morals of the nation by their literature and writings. Certainly, they were bringing in witchcraft. There's no question that Nathaniel Hawthorne and his ilk were bringing in the nightmare of witchcraft, even into the White House. Franklin Pierce, Abraham Lincoln, others were bringing witchcraft into the White House. And friends, some of the most darkest, most demonic work in the history of this nation occurred in the 1840s, 1850s, and 1860s, and all of that recorded in my book, America and God's Providence. So arguably, Nathaniel Hawthorne, some of the radical transcendentalists, were dictating the morals of the nation by the literature. At first, these literary giants were directing the elite, and so they didn't quite hit the mainstream of American society until you hit the 1900s. That's right, the 20th century. And to mass produce the tremendous influence of immorality, the enemy needed the television and the radio. They absolutely needed mass media. Without mass media, it could not be so produced and so controlled. The principies and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, could not control the masses in a centralized approach and a mass-produced approach until the centralization of media and the mass media production companies of Hollywood and elsewhere. But friends, it's also interesting how these towers of Babel tend to fall over time as well, which is happening even as we speak. Extraordinary stuff going on as the mighty continue to fall. In fact, the last 2 to 3 years, friends, we're starting to see the Tower of Babel of Hollywood and other huge, huge aspects of mass media come crashing down. That's what's going on all around us right now. And why? Because God is in control. Jesus Christ is on the right hand of the Father. He's bringing his enemies under his footstool one by one. It's happening again, and it will happen again and again and again and again. Yeah, the kings of the earth may set themselves against the Lord and his anointed, but he will bring them down. You can run on for a long time. You can run on for a long time. But one of these days, God will cut you down, to put it in the words of Johnny Cash. And that's what's happened to Harvey Weinstein. Man, do you feel the earth shake a little bit there for a second, Steve, as one more giant fell? Harvey Weinstein convicted of charges relating to the breaking of the seventh commandment in a Manhattan court this week on charges that would put him in prison for up to 29 years. You know, he was once referred to as from Meryl Streep as a god. You know, Meryl Streep, I guess at one of the big celebrations, Meryl Streep referred to him as a god. But now he's been accused of vile predatory behavior by 90 women, convicted on, I believe, 2 counts. and up for 29 years in prison, which would probably put him in prison until he goes to meet his maker.
Yeah.
But Weinstein was known for producing moral boundary-breaking movies like Sex Lies and Videotape, Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill, and the transgendered movie The Crying Game. I believe The Crying Game came out in the early 90s or the late 80s, and it was another boundary-breaking movie that glorified transgenderism. And you know, it's now you gotta understand that, you know, the way you get to a society now where we're transgendering our kindergartens almost everywhere, the way you get there is through The Crying Game. And I think people need to understand that Harvey Weinstein is responsible for destroying human civilization. It's these mass culture production companies that are working to break the moral boundaries of a nation that are to blame for the destruction of the morals of a nation and the breakdown of human civilization. So I think people need to understand that Harvey Weinstein is to blame. It's not the Supreme Court of the United States. It's Brokeback Mountain. It's The Crying Game that is responsible for the breakdown of the morals of an entire nation.
Yeah, and you know what he got as a sentence was not nearly what he could have gotten. He got convicted on two of the most minor things that he was accused of, and still the 29 years was going to put him in jail probably the rest of his life. But he still has another court date, I believe, in California, and they could actually be convicting him of even more.
He's got another court date too.
Yes, he does.
And if he doesn't repent, he's not going to be serving 29 years. An eternity. An eternity, friends. Of a fire that is never quenched. And a worm that never dies. Well, may God have mercy on Harvey Weinstein. Friends, what you're seeing in human courts is nothing, nothing compared to the judgments of Almighty God. And we'll be back in just a moment with more. This may be the most important little conference in the year 2020. Folks, we are facing the largest worldwide multinational persecution in the history of the Christian church right now. Christian families, let's introduce our children to the Christian life, because it is through much tribulation that we shall enter the kingdom of God. Now, this conference is to be held in Victoria, Texas, and it will increase awareness of the persecuted body of Christ. Space is very limited, but registration is free. By the way, the first 30 registrants will receive a copy of Taking the World for Jesus. Register today at SouthTexasBibleConference.com. That's SouthTexasBibleConference.com. And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Harvey Weinstein has come down. Friends, the boundary breaker that introduced so much of the immorality, the one who led the cultural demise of the United States of America and the entire Western world, arguably the entire world, has come down. God has brought him down. God is in control, my friends. If you ever have a doubt that that Jesus is on the right hand of the Father and he's bringing his enemies under his foot, it's happening. It is happening. Oh, it's happening. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. This guy came down, and he came down hard. He came down hard. Reminds me a little bit of what was happening in the 1970s, you know, the big song in the 1970s. In fact, this is the biggest song of the 1970s. 10 weeks in the number one position really represented the zeitgeist of the 1970s. It was Debbie Boone's You Light Up My Life with the famous line, "How can it be wrong if it feels so right?" And that was the real centerpiece of the worldview, the ethical autonomy of the 1970s. How can this be wrong if it feels so right? That was Debbie Boone's famous song, the biggest song that represented the zeitgeist, the heart of the American world in the 1970s. The biggest song of the 1970s, written by a man by the name of Joe Brooks. And some don't know this, but in 2011, Joe Brooks was facing 91 charges of sexual assault and rape, and he committed suicide. He died of suicide as he was facing these charges. Harvey Weinstein was accused of this vile predatory behavior by 90 women. Joe Brooks accused of 91 charges of sexual assault. He committed suicide. And you know what? Apparently the courts considered something wrong, even though it felt so right for Joe Brooks. So the court still upheld something of a biblical standard. And Joe Brooks came face to face with a truth that he had attempted to deny and had opposed with everything in him in the 1970s. And friends, if that isn't a good illustration of 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anybody loves the world, if anybody loves You Light Up My Life, if anybody loves Sex, Lies, and Videotape, Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill, and The Crying Game, if anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. Harvey Weinstein is passing away. Joe Brooks passed away. The world is passing away in the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Boy, you know what's amazing, Steve? When I started out with the Worldview in 5 minutes, I said we are going to report on every instance in which the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he who does the will of the Father abides forever. That was one of the key verses. We came up with about 5 to 6 key passages that we felt tied into the cultural news and the world news, and we wanted to draw these things into a daily Worldview news program, and this was about 5 years ago when we started it. And I am amazed at how many times the Word of God vindicates itself. Are you amazed by this, Steve? Yeah. I mean, think about how Harvey Weinstein and Joe Brooks truly represent the 1 John 2 principle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you take a look. God's Word never fails. I mean, it never comes back void. You can test it on anything and will always be true. And you test anything out there by the word of the Bible, and you're going to find out what is truth and what is not truth and what God desires and what he will judge and what he abhors. And it's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And it will always be. It will always be. And so you can always trust in God's word. You can read it and know it and trust it and be able to apply it to the culture of the day. So many people try to put the culture of the Bible and take the culture of the day and say, well, how can we fit that within the Bible? But it's really the other way around. How do we fit the Bible and how do we judge the culture of the day by what God's Word says?
It is truly amazing, friends, how often this happens. In fact, the cultural setters, the moral trenders of the day, those who are breaking through the moral boundaries and rushing through the social ethical mores of the day, are those that are receiving some of the best representations of the 1 John 2 passage, the world is passing away in the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And we think of Harvey Weinstein, we think of Joe Brooks and those that have been the major trendsetters, or the greatest musician of all time, the man who led the world into transgenderism by walking the thin line for years and years, Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, the greatest musician of all time in terms of album sales, he died with the reputation of a child molester. And so on and on it goes. On and on it goes. The world passes away, the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever. This principle is so important for those buying albums or listening to popular music or following the movies of the day. I think we need to come back to this principle, friends. The world is passing away in the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Same thing applies to Disney. I'm going to just take a moment and tie in Disney, because Disney Pixar is releasing its first children's animated film that features this unnatural sexual perversion in a positive light. Of course, we're talking about the Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20 abomination. So Disney is actually releasing this abomination into its first children's animated film. That's next month. And also Disney is coming out with a movie called Jungle Cruise in June that includes more of the same. And also Mulan 2020 is coming out in March, featuring a cross-dressing woman engaged in military combat. So some of the things we've talked about recently on the program. Friends, this kind of thing, very, very common. I think we have to be very, very cautious, especially with our children. In American God's Providence, Steve, I've got an entire chapter on what I call the destruction of children. Because since the 1960s, children have been destroyed by the abortionist knife and by the television movie producer's camera. Children have been utterly destroyed. They have been destroyed by the schools. They're destroyed by the pop culture. They're destroyed by the abortionist knife. This is an important chapter in the history of the Western world, in the history of America, and it comes out an entire chapter in American God's Providence. Again, we prioritize the important issues in the development of American history by a biblical worldview. So you're going to find our particular American history course very, very different than what you'll find in the secular courses among homeschool curriculum suppliers. So friends, American God's Providence has an entire chapter on the murder of children, the GLSEN clubs encouraging homosexuality in the public schools, Disney and the Pied Piper, and so forth and so on. J.K. Rowling, I've got a section on J.K. Rowling with the incredibly popular, the most popular children's book series of all time, Harry Potter, a boy witch whose mentor turns out to be a homosexual. So J.K. Rowling and her revelation of Dumbledore as a homosexual in 2007, one of the most earth-shaking moments in all of literary and cultural history. That was critical, especially if you want to in any way corrupt children. The corruption of children by way of training them in the concept of homosexuality was something the Greeks were very good at, and was attacked by the early Christian church very, very often. If you read the church fathers, you find this to be the primary sin that seems to be pointed out again and again and again, not just by Tertullian, but by Augustine and others. The corruption of children, very, very important in a society that is moving towards the classical Greek and Roman society. So that's why this classical Roman Greek way of thinking is so dangerous, is so horrible and so wretched, and needs to be rejected by true Christians. That is exactly what's going on now, is this corruption of children. Transvestism was introduced in 1961 and 101 Dalmatians, and then The Little Mermaid that came out, I think, in the 1990s, and then Mulan. And now Mulan 2020 is bringing in the transvestism again. And then in 2017, Andy Mack, The Real O'Neills, Star versus the Forces of Evil, featured homosexual relationships and antics, and that occurred just 2 years ago. And I think it was in 2017 that the Beauty and the Beast presented the first homosexual character in the history of Disney film. Well, that's being followed up this year by three more. That's Mulan 2020, Jungle Cruise, and an animated film. I believe it's called Onward. That is featuring unnatural sexual perversions in a positive light, and that's coming out next month. So Disney this year is, as I looked at the Disney offerings for the entire year, almost every one of Disney's productions this year involves some level of sexual perversion or some added sexual perversion for the purposes of corrupting children.
Yeah, it is. It's almost nauseating at times just to see what they have done, where Disney has gone. I guess Iger is stepping down and he's being replaced. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that. I don't really see anything changing, at least in the positive. But Jesus said, if you cause these little kids to stumble, it'd be better to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the deepest part of the sea.
And, I want to end on a positive light. That is, there are many, many Christian families listening to this program, and they're asking the simple question, well, what do we do? If we're not watching Disney, what do we watch? And we provided the opportunity for Minnow. I think I interviewed the CEO of Minnow, which is a Christian children's film production company that offers some online options for families. But let me close with this passage from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And this passage really deals with the Christian family. This passage deals with marriage, and then it moves on to children. This passage really deals with how we live as Christian families in the Christian home. But you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what we're doing right now in the program. We're not having fellowship. We don't want any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We just want to expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. And this is the key verse I want to leave everybody with. Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. When we talk about entertainment, I think this passage applies so much. But the positive is let's redeem the time. Let's walk circumspectly. Let's be careful with how we spend our time, especially when it comes to entertainment. We don't need to borrow all of the electronic media and all the entertainment devices that are so corrupting and drying up relationship and isolating the individuals in the present life. Let's abandon the worldly approach and let's look at how we spend our time, friends. Here's one takeaway for the Christian family. Learn to enjoy each other's company. You know, dad and mom, what are you doing when the kids go to bed? Here's my encouragement. Make love. Instead of endless Facebook updates and watching movies and all the rest, you got to learn to love each other and to enjoy each other's company. God has given us each other. And so husbands and wives, enjoy each other as a blessing from God. God gives you the gift of each other, and we need to enjoy that. Instead of being tempted into the devil's stupid substitute for joy. Leonard Ravenhill would say, entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy. You know, I we had that on the refrigerator upstairs for like 2 years, you know, just so we'd remember, you know, okay, entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy. So you got to get the TV out of the bedroom, get the iPhones out of the bedroom. I realize that's a highly practical thing, but friends, this isolating form of entertainment is no good. Hey, let's follow through on the relationship that God has given to us in the Christian marriage. I think that's the first thing for parents. Okay, a few other things for the kids. I think TV and movies, very much a crutch. iPhones and iPads are a crutch for parents who just don't want to take the time with the kids because they're just too busy updating their Facebook accounts. So, friends, again, you've got to get creative. You've got to pray through this redeeming the time. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Walk circumspectly. This is serious stuff. Let's wake up to the presence of the enemy and the need for redeeming the time, the need for good leadership on the part of dad and mom. It's going to take some thoughtfulness and some work to get our kids out of the grips of the Pied Piper and out of the grips of the culture that's destroying 97% of the kids or whatever it is. And listen to God-glorifying music in the home. And we have some CDs for kids that we sell as part of the Generations.org offerings. Go grab some of those CDs. Godly music for the kids. I love some of the numbers that work through the Proverbs, and we gave those to our kids when we were younger. But listen to the God-glorifying music. Read out loud. Read the good books out loud. That's why we present so many resources. Read out loud books. You know, recent release of Heidi, Little Pilgrim's Progress. I'm thinking The Holy War. I'm thinking all of these, the Hiding Place. We've got so many of the Christian classics that we provide, and we encourage reading out loud. I really think reading out loud should be 60, 70, 80% of the time that we spend in entertainment or in relaxation as families. I think we just need to read out loud way, way, way more. And most importantly, you've got to have a family economy going. We used to have family economics conferences. They didn't do very well. We didn't get as many people as we wanted to the conferences to make them worthwhile. But it's probably the most needful thing in the whole world right now. Not homeschooling. I think family economy is the thing that we need more than anything else, meaning the families need to regain a vision for what it is to be an oikonomia, what it is to work 6 days and have projects and to have something for our 10-year-old boys and our 14-year-old daughters to do. Without that, I think we are completely up the creek with no paddle. No, you've absolutely got to have a family economy. You absolutely have to have a family economy. Without it, I think all I can picture is destruction for the future of our sons and our daughters. Without a family economy operating, I just don't see much hope for the future of the Christian family or the Christian church. So I really believe the family economy is so essential for just the day-to-day discipleship of our children. So you grab a copy of our family economics CD. We got like 25, 26 talks on that. Here's one more thing. Take your teen boys on a Rebuild Bahamas for Jesus venture. And you can check that out at rebuildbahamasforjesus.org. We have a site for that as well. And we've had a number of families, dads bring their teenage boys and actually do something productive for Jesus and for the Church of Jesus Christ of Brothers and Sisters who have suffered so much loss in the Bahamas. So many good things to redeem the time, for the days are evil. So much to do. So many options. So many alternatives. But friends, you're going to have to get creative. You absolutely must get creative. You must walk circumspectly. You must redeem the time. This is so critical for the Christian family and the day in which we live. Here's one more thing before we're done. Take your family to a family conference where you can get something educational, something God-glorifying, something that builds you up, that edifies you, gives you some real preaching, some good fellowship in Christ. And we are putting together a Pilgrims 2020 family conference this November. So it's on the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrims coming to America. It's going to take a lot of work to put this together. By the way, if you want to help us with organizing and marketing the Pilgrims 2020 family conference in Columbus this November, just email me at host@generations.org. So again, friends, giving you some options here, giving you some alternatives to what you can do as a family, as opposed to signing your children up for the destructive patterns of the mass culture. Also, I could encourage you to our book, little book called The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture. That's available at our website, generations.org, or kevinswanson.com. Also, the family economics CDs and all of the things we've talked about, the resources for reading out loud, excellent classic books for children, all of that available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.